Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Wednesday, May 20th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. The federal government has approved Wyoming's plan to use $205 million federal dollars to transform rural health care. The Wyoming Department of Health originally proposed funneling about 80% into a so-called perpetuity fund. The investment fund was meant to stretch out Wyoming's take of the Rural Health Transformation Program for decades to come. But the director of the State Health Department said the feds rejected the fund. The state then submitted a new proposal similar to the original, but without the fund. The plan was just approved. The state has until the end of October to dole out the first year of funding earmarked for sustaining basic care. Recipients must spend the money in 1 year. The U.S. Senate confirmed Darren Smith as Wyoming's U.S. attorney on Monday, but the two tribal nations on the Wind River Reservation have serious concerns. That's after three federal judges dismissed charges against nine defendants in cases that Smith was involved in. Federal judges Kelly Rankin, Scott Skavdal, and Alan B. Johnson issued a joint ruling noting that Smith made prejudicial statements that tainted the grand jury, which is supposed to be unbiased. Leaders from the Northern Arapaho and Eastern Shoshone tribes say they're appalled and alarmed by Smith's reported conduct and comments, including referring to defendants as murderers. The U.S. Attorney's Office oversees some cases involving non-tribal members on the Wind River Reservation and some involving tribal members suspected of committing federal crimes. Tribal leaders say Smith's conduct jeopardizes legitimate prosecutions and risks creating avoidable legal challenges that could allow defendants to avoid accountability. Now confirmed, Smith has until today to contest the dismissals of his cases. 2026 is shaping up to be the driest year on record, according to Wyoming's water managers. Wyoming Public Radio's Camila Kadelska reports that could lead to some never-before-seen restrictions.
Currently, tributaries of the Bear, Green, and Tongue Rivers are in regulation. Deputy State Engineer Jack Morey says it's one of the earliest years that the office has enacted water usage restrictions.
Anticipate that to become even more regulation on systems and tributaries that haven't seen regulation ever.
He says it will be a challenging summer for all water users in the state, including agricultural, municipal, and industrial. Wyoming water law follows a priority system. This means all water rights have a date, and the more senior that date, the better water access that right gets. Keep an eye on the Wyoming State Engineer's Office for updated regulations. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Camila Kadelska.
Faculty and staff at the University of Wyoming will receive pay raises of at least $1,400. That comes after the Wyoming legislature approved raises for all state employees during this year's budget session. UW will receive about $14 million this year and next year to cover those pay bumps. The university has more than 3,000 benefited employees, but when it comes to staff, only those making below $200,000 are eligible. In addition to the standard raises, almost $6 million will be spent across campus, giving additional increases to both faculty and staff. Those will include merit-based raises and raises meant to bring all employees up to at least 65% of the standard national market rate for that position. The raises take effect this summer. And employees at Wyoming Public Media are part of UW. The U.S. Forest Service is taking a rare step by allowing chainsaws in one of the biggest wilderness areas in the country. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports.
The agency approved a request from the Idaho Outfitters and Guides Association to use gas-powered chainsaws in the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness in central Idaho. Eric Wyseth is the group's director. He says a large portion of trails are blocked by hundreds of thousands of trees that fell from disease or wildfires.
And that is not only hurting our outfitter members, but it's also hurting the general public. It's hurting their ability to access the wilderness.
But conservation groups are alarmed. Mechanized equipment is banned in wilderness areas to minimize human impact, so trail crews have used handsaws for decades. Outfitters in Wyoming also asked the Forest Service to approve chainsaws. They say the agency is long behind on trail work because of budget and staff cuts. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
Some lawmakers are warning that legal foreign workers in the United States may face multiple hurdles renewing their work permits. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports, many workers and businesses could be affected.
U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services changed a rule last year, ending the automatic renewal of work permits for more than a dozen immigrant categories, including refugees. Now add budget cuts and longer processing times, and Democrats warned that many workers could lose their permits starting this spring and have a big impact on a variety of services. Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen was among 30 Democrats to force a procedure called a congressional review to bring attention to the issue recently.
It will hurt families, small businesses, large businesses, and our entire economy. We risk losing 3.5 million workers from our workforce.
Republicans did not support it. In a public statement, Immigration Services said this is, quote, a common sense measure to ensure appropriate vetting and screening to work in the United States. In Las Vegas, I'm Yvette Fernandez, the Mountain West News Bureau.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Jackson Hole Ski and Snowboard Club recently had one of its best ever performances. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports the team took 8 top 10s. Plus, 2 athletes qualified for the USASA Futures Tour. Taz McBride and Bennett Holtman are the first 2 club members ever to qualify. A Graybull man who died 3 years ago has a new living memorial. The Basin Republican Rustler reports Colt 2605 has been nicknamed Arlo in honor of Arlo Everett. The foal was born near the area where Everett passed away in a car wreck. Now, his family says they can show his young daughter the horses as another way to remember her dad. Ten Sleep Branch Library has received a national award. It received the National Medal for Museum and Library Service from the Institute of Museum and Library Services. It was recognized for its variety of programming and for helping meet the rural community's health needs with things like blood pressure cuffs and a new mobile health unit. Cheyenne Regional Medical Center has also been recognized. It was named a 2026 Outstanding Patient Experience Award recipient by HealthGrades. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. How many Wyoming governors have served 3 terms? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, who was the first Pony Express rider to enter Wyoming, and when was that? John Fry is usually credited as the first westbound rider to hit the Wyoming border in 1860, but others believe Billy Richardson should get credit for that. The Pony Express's fame lasted much longer than the service itself, in that the newfangled transcontinental telegraph network made communication much faster and cheaper. And the last Pony Express ride took place in 1861, just 18 months after the service was established. Congratulations to Pamela Burns, the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Palkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.